Welcome back to Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez. And as I anticipated before the end of the segment, I saw him across the window there. But welcome. Nestor Mendez Gomez, licenciado. Welcome to the program again.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor for me to be here again. I really enjoyed the last time, and I'm sure I'm going to enjoy this one too. And I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at all these newspapers that you have different pages on, and I'm like, I do that all the time. Every day I pick out an article, something I'm interested in, and I'm impressed that you do it for the program, and then you comment. Yeah. I have a bunch which I expect to write on.
Okay.
One of these days.
Well, I use about 10% of what I cut out, and of course a lot of them are just my analysis and reflexes. I know I'm not going to use it. I write up little notes on them and et cetera, especially, of course, a lot of them is political that I don't deal with, which I'm often so tempted to get into what I don't deal with in this program. But I was at the end of the last segment, and I wanted to cover a little bit more on the sporting world and what those experiences, how they relate to life and for me, mm-hmm. our well-being. And I had, discussed, which you have nothing really to do with, which is ice hockey and incredible goalie that went to Cornell and Montreal Canadiens and an incredible coach. And then, I'm not going to go into my coaches, but I had some incredible coaches for me. Sports is just so, has been so critical in the development of myself as in personality and teamwork and all that kind of thing. But I wanted a couple of things additional in the sporting world. Alex, there was an article with Alex Cora. The team came back surprisingly and is now in the playoffs with the New York Yankees, which is the most incredible rival. And for me, for the last 20 years, I've been with the Red Sox and that rivalry with the Yankees. So many friends of mine and family members are Yankee fans. And so they would, they're in there again. Let's see what happens. But there was an article on Alex Cora that was so interesting in terms of him as a complete person and as a great coach. And summarizing, first of all, he has 600 victories, which is an incredible accomplishment. And the first thing he says is that it wasn't him, it's the people around him and how grateful he is to everybody around him that makes it possible for him to make this victory. So that's the first thing, being grateful, being humble, team player, you need him. So the second thing he says that, or they say about him, is that has incredible communication skills, persuasion with his players. He just knows how to work with them. And I was saying at the last segment, it seems to me that some of them, coaches can deal at all levels, from little kids to professionals. And some of them can only fit in a certain level. Ned Hartness was awful when he went to the professionals. And there was a guy with the Indiana basketball team. I can't remember his name, but he, incredible coach at the college level, but he went into the professional and was also the same. So anyway, Alex has incredible communication skills, at least at the professional level. And that's the second factor. The third one is his expertise. He knows baseball, all his life. He's really good at knowing what needs to be done in the baseball world. So that's third expertise. And that happens, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're an accountant, you have to know your business, your profession. The fourth thing is that he's incredible, empathetic, and friendly, with his family, with his friends. He's balanced, from this article. This is all, I don't know him personally, but that has also incredible value for me. Number five says that, even though he's friendly and smiling and this and that, but when he gets to the game, he's focused. He is like a razor, he's not smiling. There he's, he's winning, dealing with his players, making decisions and all. So focus, and then finally, he I learned you don't, you're not really a self-made person. And no one's a self-made person. Somebody always has helped you, or many have helped you. But he's a person that came from below, and little by little developed all the way through the system. You know, little leagues, and then college, and then minor league, and play. And so it's going through the whole range to reach where you are, and not just kind of being parachuted, at the top. So Alex Cora, and of course, I'm super prejudiced because I'm a Boston Red Sox fan.
The only thing I would add to all of that, which is resilience, he didn't have a good time the last few years, after the scandal and all that. He recovered from that, he was really almost out of the game. You're right. And now he's back in the game. I think that's a lesson.
And when he was taken out because of this stealing the signs kind of thing, which didn't seem to me very, I was kind of surprised by what happened there, but stealing the signs and all, he was very humble and modest about it. And he took his beating, wasn't able to, what, a year, I think, or whatever. And you're right, absolutely right. Again, humility, again, focus, and again, as you say, resilient. I mean, that's another incredible value. So, and speaking of resilient, the other thing that recently, because I've been following him, and Aidan Owens Delerme.
Ah, sí. Yes.
And the decathlon, which is for me the most trying. Ironman is pretty good, but this is 10 different sports of strength and speed and agility and he got the gold medal at the World Championship and only two other athletes have gotten medals at that level, and Kurt Coulson and Hasmin. He's been fighting for that. I think he was a little bit injured in the last Olympics. So kudos to Aidan.
And I read that he said that he almost gave it up.
Sports creates incredible people, he talks about the different people that have helped him. Again, just like Alex Cora, we don't do things on our own. There's a lot of people around us. Okay, that takes care of sports. I know that I played tennis a lot with Nesty, and so I know he's an athlete. But I asked him. I said, Nesty, what was your background in athletics, and what are you doing now? So,
Given my age, I've given up basketball, which was what I used to do a lot when I was in high school, and somewhat later. I did take up tennis after that. I played with you and a lot. I really enjoyed tennis. But again, I had a problem with the shoulder. And eventually what I'm doing now in my age, getting close to 80, I'm 77, I'm swimming. I've always swum. I was on the team in Penn. I used to swim before that when I was very young. A short footnote, I learned to swim. This is how old I am. At the Normandy Hotel, okay, when it had an inside pool.
An indoor, yeah.
Where the story says that Moineau, the wife of Félix Benítez Rezach, would jump from the second floor, supposedly naked, into that pool.
Right.
Well, I learned to swim in that pool and in the Normandy Beach. Yeah. So from, I must have been 5, 6.
El Escambrón,
I'm sorry. En El Escambrón, exactly.
I had, there's a great book. I had her twice on the program, Rosana Matias.
Exacto, Rosana.
A bordo en Normandy. And
My friend.
So you're swimming now, you're swimming.
I swim in the ocean. I love to swim in the ocean. I started swimming in the ocean. Well, I started swimming at the Escambrón and then at the Carrillo Hilton when I was a youngster. My dad was a socio, and we would swim there. And my favorite sports, my favorite vacation for many years was going out, let's say, to the Virgin Islands, and stopping the boat, and not and everyone then has a drink there in the little beach. No, I would swim whatever place we were anchoring at. You know,
Yeah.
If it was Savannah Bay, I would swim it completely, and that really enjoyed looking at the turtles and just swimming in the ocean. And that I did in my, I guess, in my 30s and into my 40s. And I kept swimming. And now, 15 years ago, I did a sprint triathlon. And I kept up the swimming, the biking not so much, once in a while. And then instead of jogging, which hurts my knees, I walk fast and that. But swimming is really my sport now.
Okay. Well, you were in the program discussing El Camino de Santiago, which a long walk.
Oh yeah.
So you know you've always been in good shape.
That's my current vacation.
That's a spiritual athletic experience.
It is, exactly. That's why it's so nice, because it combines spiritual, physical, looking at the views, nature, going through different towns all over Spain. Now I did it from east to west and up in the north. Now I'm going to start next year. I'm going to start doing it from the south up to the north.
From Portugal or Spain?
Oh, I already did Portugal.
Yeah.
I did Portugal.
Okay.
But I'm going down to real southern Spain from Malaga.
Oh, wow.
There's a Camino Vía de la Plata that goes from Malaga all the way to Santiago.
Wow.
I'm probably going to do the part from Malaga to Salamanca. That's going to take me a couple of trips, but
okay.
I'm not
swimming,
that's my next
swimming, goal. Swimming is, I've always enjoyed it. For me, scuba. Have you done scuba? Scuba diving?
Oh, I love scuba. I haven't done it for a while, but that was, I had all of my families, my four daughters, learn, and we went scuba many times.
Scuba is
that's a great sport.
The most beautiful, relaxing sports, and swimming.
That's true.
I'm no longer the youngest. She's now penultima, but the grandchildren, because the tenth one was born in September.
I heard your program when you were speaking about
but the other. I'm trying to get their parents to take her to Caparra to get into the formal swimming. I just think it's one of the great sports, just so physically advantageous, covering all of your body, and then so relaxing and all. So anyway, we'll see what happens. But okay, well, I want to get to the
Puerto Rico
Supreme Court Foundation. We had Ataveda at the beginning of the program. I explained that we had Ataveda 2 weeks ago, and she introduced a little bit about the foundation and that conference that we had on Friday all day. And so I wanted to cover three things. First of all, there was a big challenge. Our principal speaker, the keynote, was not able to get a visa, and so there were some tensions there, et cetera. So the challenges and how it went from your point of view. The second thing I wanted to cover is, where we are, the background of the foundation and where we're going strategically. And then the third kind of tied to that is what are the next programs that we have in it? So let's go. First of all, the story, because I was shocked when I got there that
which one?
That our principal keynote speaker could not get the visa.
This reminded me of we've done many programs. We've published a book all about trying to educate people about the judicial system. And we've had, I think, the biggest, most complicated programs we've had were the one in 2019 when we brought Justice Sonia Sotomayor and the two chief judges of Puerto Rico and the District Court of Puerto Rico. And I compared it a little bit to what happened in this one, because that program took part in 2019, but it was supposed to happen the day Irma, which many people don't remember, Hurricane Irma. It was Irma and then Maria.
Right.
When Irma came in, That was the day that Justice Sotomayor was supposed to do that program.
I had forgotten that.
We had to cancel that. Mm-hmm. We replanted for 2018. Then she fell and broke an arm, I think her elbow. So we had to cancel 2018.
Like Katie Rodriguez, who helped us program.
And we finally did it 2019, and the program was called Contra Viento y Marea, in part, because it was about the challenge of women in the system, but all the challenge of putting it up. And this one was similar, except this was really more complicated because that program was the justice, the three justices, the two chief judges and the justice, talking about their experience. We had other speakers there, so it was a little bit complicated. But this one was an all-day program that included continuous legal education. We had never done that. Here we had four courses for lawyers, and we had basically an all-day course for almost 120 judges. So it was really, really complicated. Just the fact it was an all-day program. And then after we had all this stress putting that up, 2 days or 3 days before, the main speaker has a visa problem in Argentina. And the fascinating thing, again, resilience, is we put it up, and people were fascinated. Many didn't even learned that he was supposed to be here personally,
yeah,
because he did it virtually, talking about.
Yeah, there wasn't a mention that we're sorry to say that it was just went ahead as if it were.
Instead of making a big deal about it, we just went forward with. There was a little mention of he couldn't be here, but since this is an artificial intelligence program, we're doing it through, well, not artificial intelligence, but through
virtual
the options that are coming up. So, but it was a big challenge.
Some people may have thought maybe that wasn't him. Maybe it was artificial intelligence that brought
exactly, which was one of the interesting things. At the end, after he explained all of the things that can be created by AI, he called it IA. In Spanish, AI,
artificial intelligence.
Right.
I get my words sometimes when I with the Spanish
after
and the
he
English.
Explain all of the things that can be created, like this program can be created by artificial intelligence. They can imitate my voice, your voice.
Right.
You know, they can make up stories. They can go to my biography and talk about something. Anyway,
Trump just made up artificial intelligence, put words into the Schumer and into
exactly. He just did it. Hearing about it, I was what? No. So, someone said, well, because I said, oh, we had to cancel it, but thank God he did it virtually. And he said, how do we know it wasn't made up? which is going to be the challenge.
Well, listen, we run out of time in the second segment. It's incredible how time flies. we're going to take a pause. This is Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez. My guest is Nestor Mendez, and we're talking about the Puerto Rico Supreme Court Foundation, the Puerto Rico Supreme Court Foundation, and our conference last Friday on artificial intelligence and its application, the status of the legal profession, innovation, and systemic change. That was the title in Spanish. So we'll be right back to discuss some interesting things that happen and challenges. Okay, we'll be right back after the pause.